Morning is from Mark 7, verses 1 to 8, 14 to 15, and 21 to 23. That can be found on page 1020 of the Pew Bibles. That which defiles. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you that you are a God of relationship, and that you made us for a relationship with you. And that thank you, Father, that although sin came into the world, through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, we can be restored into a right relationship with you if we become in repentance and faith to the cross of Jesus. Father, I just invite your Holy Spirit now to come, Lord, and speak to us. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bring to life, breathe into life the words of yourself. And that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing in your sight, Lord. That you would guide my heart and mind. That, Father, you would almost, in a sense, Lord, help me to ditch my notes if I need to, but to be led, Holy Spirit, by you. That your name, Jesus, will be glorified and honored in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So our theme this morning is worship from the heart. And I've added a little subtitle that says, "God is not interested in religion." There's a statement that might surprise you, shock you, stun you, or even wake you up. In fact, God hates religion. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach heresy, you're all right. Now, although Christianity may be categorized as a religion, if you look on Wikipedia or the internet, it's not. Christianity is about a relationship with God our Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. Christianity is not a religion. Now, you may be somebody here this morning who may have followed many rules. You may have prayed, read the Bible many times, served on the tea, the flower rotas, all the rotas that we've got, given to charity and the church. You may have attended church regularly for many years. Like I said, following the rituals and the rules and the traditions, generally being what we would consider a good person. But the Pharisees did all these things externally. It was an external show to them. And to show before men. And what I want to say to each one of us is we need to search our hearts before God. Has there ever been any internal change? Has there ever been any regeneration of our hearts before God? Have we ever experienced what Jesus referred to in John 3 of being born again of the Holy Spirit? Have we received and been given that new nature that God promises us if we come to faith in Jesus, God's divine nature, to come and live in us? Has your heart ever been washed in the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for you and I and for all of mankind, from Adam and Eve to the end of time? That Jesus, who knew and had no sin, was made sin for you and I, that through him we become the righteousness of God, that by his death, his resurrection, by the shedding of his precious blood, that you and I could be brought back to a right relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. Have you ever been reconciled with God? That's only a question that you can ask yourself, between you and God. Have you ever truly repented? I know we had the confession, but I mean truly repented. Repentance, as most of us know, means to about turn, to no longer live my own way or along the lines and the principles of this world, but to completely make a change of direction and live according to the principles of the kingdom of God and the principles of God's word. Have we acknowledged that all our righteous acts are like filthy rags before God? Isaiah 64 verse 6. Have we acknowledged and we accepted that there is no difference, that every single one of us have come sinned and come short of the glory of God? Romans 3:23. Is it all an external show? Or is there been internal change in your hearts? Do we live our lives Monday to Saturday as we choose and turn up on Sunday in some sort of tokenistic gesture towards God, hoping that if we tick a box on a Sunday morning, everything between us and God will be fine? But then on a Monday we go back to our lives. Are we, as we've been referred to this morning, are we living the life? Are we whole life disciples? You know, the Christianity from Monday to Saturday, where I go my own way and live my own way and then turn up on a Sunday and then revert back to my own way on the Monday, is not the Christianity of the Bible. It's not the Christianity displayed by the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's not the Christianity that Jesus Christ gave his life for on the cross when he shed his blood, died and rose again, ascended and will return. J.C. Ryle, the first bishop of Liverpool, said this: a cheap Christianity without a cross will in the end prove to be a useless Christianity without a crown. A cheap Christianity without a cross will in the end prove to be a useless Christianity without a crown. In all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Jesus says these words: if anybody would come after me and follow me, they must take up their cross daily, deny themselves and follow me. For whoever wants to keep his life in this world shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Hopefully, what we will see this morning is that religion makes you a slave. Jesus makes you a son or a daughter of God. That religion is man's attempt to reach back to God, trying to make up the difference, if you like, whereas Christianity is God reaching down to man to rescue him in the form of Jesus. Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. This is why Christianity is unique, ladies and gentlemen, to all the other religions in the world. Because all the other religions attempt to make it right with God by man and women's own human effort. Whereas Christianity is by grace, it is God that has done it all for us. Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, it is done. You cannot add, you cannot take away from the salvation that God has for you. It is finished. Jesus did it 2,000 years ago. You and I were not there 2,000 years ago, so we could not have helped him out anyway. It is done. Now we see in this passage that the Pharisees were more concerned about the external religious habits of the disciples and other people. You know, they had 613 commandments, 248 commandments and 345 prohibitions. And then they had sub-commandments on top of those. 613 commandments. Can you imagine trying to keep 613 commandments? It's hard enough trying to keep 10, is it not? Rules, being seen to be doing the right thing before men rather than being right before God. They were less concerned or not concerned at all how they stood before God, but as long as they were seen in public to be doing the right thing. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we must practice what we preach. What we are in public, we must be in private. Because you and I can pull the wool over each other's eyes, but God Almighty sees it all. Darkness, it says in the Psalms, is as light to him. When you are in the secret place, God sees what you do. You can't hide from him. He knows even the thoughts and the motives of your heart. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. God knows us. Even the hairs on our head are numbered. Jesus says, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You people, the Pharisees of his day, you are religious. It's all an external show. There has been no regeneration in your hearts. You know, Jesus, in fact, has a rant at the religious people of his day in Matthew 23. And Jesus was not out to win any popularity contest with the people of his day. He called the religious leaders, the Pharisees, a brood of vipers. You barrel of snakes, basically. Calling them whitewashed tombs. On the outside, the tomb looks wonderful, but inside, you're full of dead men's bones. It's all show. What was Jesus? Was Jesus actually saying you need to forget the laws? No, he wasn't saying that. What he was saying is you can't just go through the motions and expect everything to be okay. You can't just turn up on a Sunday, recite things. You can't honour me with just your lips, but your heart's a million miles away from me. It just won't wash with God. It's not true worship. When the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come, longing just to bring something of worth that will bless your heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. Worship is about living the life. Worship is not just on a Sunday morning. It's certainly not just about singing songs. Often we sing songs, and we need to be careful, I believe, what we sing, because God will take us at our word. I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. Take me, Lord, I'm yours, forever yours. Wonderful songs, don't get me wrong, I love them. Some talented hymn, people that write, Matt Redmond, they're brilliant. They're fantastic musicians and the words are fantastic. But do we really mean them? Do we really mean them? Do we sing them and then walk out the door and forget? No, the Lord loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. God is not a God of religion. He's a God of relationship. In the Old Testament, the prophet Samuel is instructed by God to go and appoint a new king for Israel. Saul has been rejected by God because he basically didn't want to do what God told him to. So God said, right, I want you to go and anoint a new king. So Samuel goes to the house of a man called Jesse, and all of Jesse's sons pass in front of Samuel. And one by one, they pass in front of Samuel. One of them stands in front of Samuel, Jesse's sons, and the Lord says, do not consider his height or his appearance, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. What is the condition of your heart today? What is the condition of your heart? Are you singing the songs, but not living the life? Are you reciting the words, but your hearts are far from God? In short, left to our own efforts, the human heart is desperately wicked. It's been said that the heart of the human problem is the heart. It needs regeneration. You can throw whatever money at it you want, whatever programs, whatever projects, but unless there's internal change, unless your hearts are washed by the blood of Jesus, then it won't last. Willpower is not enough. God says in Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. A heart that is not far from me. Now, we've just heard that many of us went to Soul Survivor, and let's just say the weather was pretty awful. It's probably the worst weather that Soul Survivor, I think it is the worst weather Soul Survivor have had in 20 years of it running. So most of us, in fact all of us, were walking around with big coats on, hoods up, Wellington boots, soaked and covered in mud most of the time. Well, in fact, all of the time, apart from Saturday, which was my birthday, which was a real blessing. And most meetings, we turned up like this. There were 7,500 people in this big top tent, all covered in mud. Now, this morning, I'm stood in front of you with a nice clean shirt. It's my wife ironed this morning. Thank you, Anna. A nice clean suit. It's clean. Does that mean I'm more holy today than I was a week ago when I was sat in a tent covered in mud? Of course not. You're all looking at me thinking that's absurd. But this is what almost the Pharisees were saying. You need to wash your hands. You need to do all these external things to be right before God. It's ridiculous, isn't it? In the same way at Soul Survivor, some of us would come back from meetings and seminars, you know, from the marketplace, funnily enough, with our hands dirty. Hopefully, most of us washed our hands, but probably some of us didn't. Does that make us less holy? No, it's absurd. It's about being inwardly clean. It's about God washing our hearts. Helen made a comment, actually, during the week. And I think she sent an email out for prayer requests, and it was this. We might be covered in mud, but God is washing the mud off of our hearts. We might be covered in mud, but God is washing the mud off of our hearts. That's our concern. That's God's concern for you and I. You know, God loves you so much, he will not leave you as you are. In your sin or struggling with sin. But it's a journey. We talked about that and heard that this morning. Salvation is to be worked out with fear and trembling. It's not just a one-off event where we get our ticket from heaven and we sit around in some spiritual waiting room waiting for our number to be called. Salvation is to be worked out. I was saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved in the future. Salvation is an ongoing process. It's living the life, whole life, discipleship. It's all about a relationship with God. You know, Jesus said, out of the heart, all the evil comes. It's not the mud on the outside, the dirt on the outside, the filth on the outside. The filth and the dirt come from within. We are in desperate need of a Saviour. And that Saviour, as we all, most of us know, is Jesus. Who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yet God loves us so much that he will not leave us in our sin. But he calls us to repentance and faith in Jesus, his Son. You know, a relationship is a two-way thing, is it not? It is. And often in prayer we think that we come to God and, you know, it's one side of the coin. We come to God and we offer him our worship to him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, the song of heaven. You are worthy alone, our Lord and our God, to receive glory, power and honour if you created all things. We bring our intercessions, which we're going to have shortly, where we intercede on behalf of the sick and the world and the Queen and the authorities. We bring our prayer, we bring our petitions and our requests with thanksgiving towards God, as Philippians 4 says. We bring everything to God in prayer. And so often it's, listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. When it should be, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Often we rush into his presence, we pray, we bring it all, we give him the glory that is due his name. I'm not knocking that. That's the first thing we should do, is give God the glory. He is holy, he is worthy. Jesus is King, he is Lord of all, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We bring our intercessions, we bring our requests, and then we rush out. And God says, hang on, I want to talk to you. I had things to say. I wanted to spend time with you. A relationship. A relationship works on a two-way street, does it not? It's not just one side of the coin. You know, my desire and the desire of Joe and everyone here who knows and loves the Lord is that you would hear God's voice for yourself. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and my sheep know my voice. I just want to finish with a short testimony of how God speaks to us. He speaks primarily through his word, Logos, the written word of God, yes. But he can speak to you and I in the everyday of our lives if we are ready to hear his voice. We went to Soul Survivor, as I've mentioned. It's raining. Yes, it was. Covered in Wellington boots. And I had my street pastor coat on because it's built for rain, because it's got a hood, etc. And of course, we turned up at one of the meetings and Mike Pilavachi, the leader of Soul Survivor, got up to speak. And he told a story of how he was a youth leader for 4 years, and he went to his vicar and said, I want to move on from the youth work. To which his vicar came back and said, okay, you can be the assistant to the associate minister. Mike got this new job realized in a very short time that working with adults is boring and that working with children is much more fun. And he wanted to go back to his old job, his old ministry, but they'd employed a new youth worker, so it wasn't possible. That summer, Mike went on a mission trip to France, and they were in a prayer meeting. And they were sat round and they were all praying. And a French pastor got up and walked to the door, went to one of the hooks by the door and picked up a little girl's coat and walked towards Mike, which he very humorously said, I was looking with my one eye open thinking, please don't come near me. But the French pastor stood in front of him and said to Mike, with a little girl's coat, put it on. To which Mike said, I can't. The French pastor said again, put it on. To which Mike said, it doesn't fit. And the French pastor said, that's the point. It doesn't fit anymore. The ministry that you were in doesn't fit anymore. The youth ministry, the children's ministry doesn't fit you anymore. And it was in that moment, bear in mind I'm sat with my street pastor's coat, and let me just tell you that tomorrow I put that ministry down and I've been seeking God, is it the right thing to do? In that moment, God said to me, Mark, the coat you are wearing doesn't fit you anymore. It doesn't fit you anymore. God's confirmation. It was in that moment, 7,500 people, I thought, it felt like I was the only person in that tent at that moment. The coat you are now wearing, Mark, doesn't fit you anymore. It's right to move on. This is how God speaks. This is a relationship that God wants with you and I. I'm not saying I'm holier than now, but if you just listen to his voice, he wants to speak to you and I. God is a God of relationship, not religion. And I would encourage every single one of you here today that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not been reconciled with God through Jesus, please don't leave this place without one of us leading you in a prayer to Jesus that you might be born again. Let us not be people who are found to honor him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. Let us be people who honor God with our lips and know him in our hearts. Amen.